To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more to today's sermon. Through our travels, many of you will believe yourselves to have a firm grasp upon reality itself, and yet, rather sadly, this realm in which we exist is only sustained by a thin border, and behind that veil, we will find a secret most dark. I would, of course, be referring to the chaotic hellscape of the warp, which exists as an impossible plane of emotional energy, spawned from our own thoughts and actions. It is here that the otherworldly legions of the Neverborn demons will frolic, doing battle with one another until they spy a region of real space weak enough that they may invade, with the singular goal of devouring whatever pathetic souls they may uncover during their incursion. But despite the clear horrors of the warp, we must admit that its terrors are not eternal, and it can, in fact, be wrangled into submission, providing a great many boons to those who would face its darkness. Perhaps the most famous use of the Immaterium during the 41st millennium would be of its exploitation by the Imperial Navy, who will follow its turbulent currents during a procedure known as warp travel. This is where a pilot will utilize their warp drives to tear a small hole in reality, allowing the ship to sail into the chaos of the warp, at which point a mutant navigator will chart a safe passage through the swirling tempest before they finally slip back out into real space on the other side of the galaxy. This is only a brief synopsis as to how the Imperial vessels will travel through the warp, but in truth, there is far more to learn on this topic. With that in mind, today we shall be focusing on warp travel, specifically looking into the methods used by the naval crews of the Imperium. Firstly, I will explain warp travel in more detail, where I will attempt to show exactly how these mighty vessels can traverse the breadth of the galaxy simply by slipping through hell. After this, we will investigate the mysterious warp-sensitive mutants known as navigators, before finally going over the luminous wonder known as the Astronomicon. But we must not dally on needless introductions. My friends, take heed of this sermon, for warp travel is a most dangerous endeavor, and you will never know of when you may need to hearken back to the secrets of this most forbidden topic. Our galaxy is unfathomably vast. It is a near unending ocean of stars, glittering out in the boundless abyss as fireflies dancing through the void. Around them, innumerable worlds will float, housing untold trillions of living souls, occupying near every corner of our celestial domain, with not a thought to be given to anything but the arduous task of carving out an existence for themselves in this weighty gloom. Upon each planet, its citizens must contribute some form of tithe to the greater Imperium. And though it matters not of what is given, all must provide something, lest they be seen as parasitic traitors. Forge worlds will provide the arms and armaments of the Imperial Guard. Agri worlds will supply the surrounding star sectors with the gift of nutritional plenitude, and hive worlds will simply serve to offer up hundreds of thousands of new recruits to fight and die in the distant war zones of the galaxy. But this offering up of the tithe does now pose a rather interesting question. Our galaxy is around 100,000 light years in diameter, so how can we reliably transport resources across that colossal expanse in such a way that they still reach their destination within the lifetimes of their own crew? Though yes, we could send these vessels at sublight speed, but even if they possessed the finest of impulse thrusters, it would still heavily limit their operational range, and each shipping task could take tens or even thousands of years to complete. Thankfully, however, our ancestors were able to find a solution to this problem, and they did so by peering into the warp. Humanity's answer to faster-than-light travel was to be an invention which was named as the warp drive. This arcane piece of machinery is a relic from the dark age of technology, with arco-historians believing that it first entered widespread use at some point during the 18th millennium. Before its inception, hulking generational colony ships were commonly found throughout the Imperium, where only the ancestors of the original crews would be expected to carry out their missions upon reaching their final destination. But with the invention of the warp drive, this was now an archaic memory of an unenlightened age. The face of the galaxy was soon to be changed for the rest of time, as humanity was propelled outwards, riding atop the strange yet beautiful wave of the warp, being ready to claim the very stars for themselves. The mechanism for a warp drive is as follows. A ship which wishes to travel a large distance may take decades, or centuries even, of conventional sublight speed travel, but that same distance may be covered in only a few days, if the Admiral decrees that the correct course of action is to perform a warp jump. Initially, the crew will activate their warp drive, plunging the vessel into the otherworldly realm of chaos. This dimension does not follow the same rules as our own plane of reality, and it is near impossible to decipher the enigmatic ebbs and flows of energy which are ever changing and evolving themselves into new, horrifying entities. Whilst within the hellscape of the Immaterium, the crew can then activate their ship's powerful reaction drives, which will propel the vessel through the heaving flow of the warp. Such is the danger to be found in this nightmarish ocean, that any wrong move could lead to the ship being devoured or destroyed in but a single instant. To rectify this, Imperial vessels are equipped with two protective countermeasures, namely the Geller fields and the navigators. Firstly, the Geller field is another relic of the Dark Age of technology, which will produce a small bubble of reality around a ship once it enters into the warp. And from this, the vessel will be somewhat safe from the prying invasions of demonic entities. These are not perfect, and they can still fail, but they have still saved many crews from being consumed by a vicious, otherworldly denizen of the warp. The navigators, meanwhile, are mutants, who through their gifts may interpret the swirling tides of the warp to seek safe passage through this undulating realm. From what we understand, regions of the warp will correspond to areas of real space, and so to exit the warp at one's required destination, the navigator will need to be able to steer their craft towards the specific region of the Immaterium which matches their terminal harbor. These mutants are utterly invaluable to the crews of an Imperial vessel, as without their gifts of warp sight, it is highly likely that most ships would simply be lost, being caught up in a psionic riptide of otherworldly energy from where they will never be seen again. Despite their abilities, do not be fooled into thinking that the navigators have complete control over the course of their vessel. We can almost picture warp travel as us dropping ourselves into a torrentially flowing river. Though yes, we can swim and drag ourselves to the shore, we will inevitably be pulled by its current, and it will be almost impossible to turn and swim against its overwhelming power. In the same way, a navigator who directs their void craft must be able to quickly identify the tides and currents of the warp, and from this information, they must then decipher a correct path through that otherworldly flow, using the energetic undercurrent to carry them through their own region of hell until they reach their destination. Only once a ship has traversed this realm and traveled the required distance will the crew then be prompted to reactivate their warp drive, causing the ship to drop back into real space having now crossed many hundreds of light years in but a scant few days. This, however, is only the best-case scenario to warp travel, and in truth, sailing through the demonic realms is not always a task which goes as smoothly as I have described. As I stated, it can be incredibly difficult for even the most skilled of navigators to interpret the crashing forces of the warp, and sometimes they may be unable to prevent a ship from being swept off course by a rogue wave of Empyrean energy. Once strayed from their target, the crew must then rely upon the navigator to realign their wayward craft back on course, and none can be sure of just how arduous of a task this may be. We cannot shape the flow of the warp in such a way where it becomes favorable to us, and so the navigators will often be forced to extend their hellish expedition by many weeks, months, or even years until they finally locate a safe passage to be taken. Rather unfortunately, however, for every moment that a ship remains within the warp, the risk of a demonic incursion occurring on board will increase at a truly alarming rate. I will mention at this point that time is incredibly distorted whilst within the warp. Though many inquisitors have tried, it is impossible to give a clear conversion between time spent in that dimension and of the time which passes within real space, for it simply depends on how the Empyrean currents of the Immaterium are flowing in that exact moment. Ships have sailed into the warp and traveled for mere days from the crew's perspective. But upon re-entering real space, they have discovered that they were gone for hundreds of years, with the ship being written off as lost and its inhabitants being falsely declared as dead. From this, we can begin to understand how, if a ship loses its course within the warp, that there will then be a strong chance that it will never reach its destination in the expected time frame. There are recorded cases of vessels reappearing entire millennia after they first entered into the warp, with their crews appearing rather shaken from the experience, but still loyal to the Imperium. Rest assured that those crew members will still be subjected to the most rigorous of inquisitorial interrogation methods. For who knows of what damage could have been inflicted to their minds after spending thousands of years in that eternal swirling madness. This thought on becoming lost in the warp also poses another interesting point, and it is that a vessel may emerge from their travels in an entirely wrong location, far from their destined target. A navigator may believe that they have found safe passage through the tempest, but only upon reactivating their warp drives will they realize that they were mistaken, and they have in fact steered their craft to the opposite end of the galaxy. Similarly, if an admiral believes that their stay in the warp seems to be far too dangerous, and if they do not trust in their navigator to safely bring them home, then they may ordain for the ship to perform an emergency procedure, where they will drop out of the warp, back into real space, without knowing of where they will land. This is a maneuver most risky, as they could in fact materialize within the heart of a burning star or within the treacherous territories of an alien empire. But this may be a preferable fate than of spending even a single extra second within the abyssal realm of suffering of the warp. At this point, we should now turn our attention back to the prior mentioned Geller field. Spending many years within the warp would be a sure sentence of death to any species which possesses a soul, and yet, through these shields, humanity has found a way to protect itself from the clawing grips of the demon kin. The true workings of this device have unfortunately been lost to time, and it is doubtful that the Imperium will ever be able to decipher its internal mechanisms. However, we do still possess a conceptual, yet rudimentary understanding of how they protect us. The Geller field will emit an invisible enclosed bubble of real space around the vessel once it enters the warp, and so long as the arcane machinery remains active, then this shield will be nigh impenetrable. This is because it is rather difficult for demons to breach the barrier between the warp and reality, meaning that the meddlesome forces of the Immaterium will find it almost impossible to slither into the safe confines of a void ship. Without this field, there would be nothing standing between those demonic entities and of the brave crews who dwell within their ships. It is a piece of technology which can under no circumstance break down, as it would condemn the entire assemblage to death at the hands of monstrosities so evil that we mustn't even utter their names, lest we risk having their many eyes turned to face us. The Mechanicus will ultimately be responsible for maintaining these Gellerfield-emitting devices, but as I stated, even the tech priests do not fully comprehend their inner workings. As such, they will resort to spiritual techniques to temper the innate machine spirits, such as by chanting sacred codes of binary or by anointing the device in foul-smelling, pungent oils. Though the scions of the Omnissiah do indeed try their best, we cannot reliably say if this is an acceptable alternative to true maintenance work, as it is not unheard of for Gellerfields to fail, causing the protective bubble to simply flicker out of existence, leaving the ship unbarred and unguarded to the horrors of the warp. If this does indeed occur, then all hope will be lost for the now damned crew. Their fates will be sealed, and all they will be able to do is to sit and pray to the Emperor for salvation from the depths of hell in which they find themselves. They will drown amidst the flowing tides of infernal energies, with the very bulkhead of their vessel twisting and contorting under the incomprehensible weight of the accursed forces bearing down against it. The walls themselves will be possessed by nefarious demons who will effortlessly glide through, manifesting themselves as barbarous horrors, eager to sate their eternal appetites on the bright souls who now stand as victims to the warp. There is almost no scenario in which a Gellerfield fails, and yet the crew survives long enough to complete their journey, as the ship will simply shine too brightly within the realms of chaos as a veritable buffet to be feasted upon. As it stands today, the most common cause for ship disappearances within the Imperium is in fact due to them sustaining a Gellerfield failure during warp travel. After the crew has been devoured, it is not unheard of for the vessel itself to survive, where it may sail for eons, until it finally slips back out into real space as a ghost ship, inhabited by naught but the grisly remains of those who once called it as their home. These empty vessels, if recovered, will need to be purified from their demonic taint, as the ancient crafts are simply too valuable to scuttle amidst the void, since the Imperium has long since lost the schematics and methods necessary for recreating many of their ships. But in any case, it is sadly so common for Imperial vessels to succumb to this fate that the Administratum will plan out its logistical calculations with the expectation that a certain percentage of their ships will be forever lost to the screeching abyss. Now that we understand the concept of warp travel, and of how the ships are kept safe during their infernal journeys, I do believe that we should spend a little more time investigating the enigmatic figures known as the Navigators. Though I have given a brief overview as to their abilities, these mutants are nothing short of fascinating, and without their aid, it is doubtful that the Imperium would have ever flourished into its glorious, albeit stagnant, position of the 41st millennium. To begin with, the first point we should understand on the Navigators is that they are abhumans, whose existence has been sanctioned by the Ordo Malleus as their extrasensory capabilities are deemed as being of the utmost importance towards the functionality of near every imperial organization. Through their genetic gifts, they have obtained the ability to peer through the chaos of the warp, being able to innately understand its flowing tides, to find the safest route of passage for our wayward ships. The navigators are seen as being so physiologically and psionically different from ourselves that they are considered by imperial genitors as belonging to their own subspecies, namely Homo Navigo. If we were to trace our phylogenetic tree, at some point the navigators and baseline humans would intersect at a common ancestor. However, this does beg the question of how did they mutate? And what changed during this most pivotal shift? The actual origin of these mutants is a secret which has likely been lost to time. And yet, through our records, we may speculate as to their genesis and ascension throughout the galaxy. From what we understand, during the Dark Age of technology, a mysterious sect produced a genetic strand known as the Navigator gene, which, when implanted into a human, would bequeath them with the gifts necessary to interpret the changing currents of the warp. Rather curiously, this appears to predate the grand awakening of human psykers throughout the galaxy, possibly suggesting that these were some of the first psionically sensitive members of mankind to become known to our species. In any case, the gene itself will encode for a wide range of physiological changes to occur within the individual, invariably sealing their fate as being a mutant who is destined to grow as a navigator. The most striking malformation which is carried will be of the fascinating sensory organ known as the warp eye. This is a third eye sprouted from the center of their forehead, which initially will appear the same as their other two eyes. However, as the navigator grows older, it will undergo a most astonishing change. As the figure uses their abilities more and more, delving into the warp to gaze upon its tides, their eye will slowly but surely shift in hue, until it no longer resembles a human eye, but instead a dark black orb. This inky abyssal portal may be seen as a passage into the warp itself, and it is through this hollow ingress that the navigator may see the immaterium for what it truly is. I should clarify that my use of the term portal is not simply allegorical, as many have speculated that the eye does in fact exist as a true miniaturized gateway into the warp itself. Though it is likely too small for demons to crawl through, it does not change the fact that immaterial energies may seep out, and as such, the navigators will mostly keep their warp eye sealed until, of course, they are called upon to charter a safe passage through the warp. It should be obvious to many of you, but for most individuals, if they were to stare into the warp, then that hellscape would indeed stare back, and from its infernal gaze would all manner of loathsome horrors be carried through. But this is not the case for the navigators. They can safely observe the passing waves of immaterial energy, and this is all thanks to the gifts of their genetic heritage. The navigator gene, along with encoding for their warp eye, will also grant them with the ability to understand and interpret their dark visions without the innate risk of losing their minds to insanity. Thanks to their abilities in understanding the capricious nature of the warp, there could be none who would be more suited for piloting the colossal void ships of the Imperium during their treacherous travels. Whilst in real space, they can quickly identify the optimal spots for submerging their vessels into the calmer seas of the Immaterium, where they will be at a lesser risk of manifesting within a chaotic storm. From here, the kaleidoscopic ocean of psychic energies will appear to them as a vacillating map, which they may decipher in order to locate amicable routes towards their final destination. Though we cannot deny the clear importance of their role upon a ship, many Imperial crewmates will not respond so positively to the presence of these mutants. There are many myths which persist amongst the members of the Imperial Navy, which state that it is a bad omen to stare into the third eye of a navigator. These superstitious mates claim that if you meet with the Stygian gaze of a navigator, that something otherworldly will stare back, and within that mutated black orb are creatures which cannot possibly be of human origin. This, however, is simply a myth. If one was to truly bear witness to the opened eye of a navigator meeting the maddening black gaze of that abyssal gateway, then they would almost certainly be killed in an instant. This is because that just as their eye can peer into the warp, so too can the warp gaze back through them. And so to match the stare of a navigator's third eye will be to stare directly into the blazing, baleful half-light of the warp. This will invariably lead to certain death in all but the most psychically strong of individuals, and they will surely die in agony, with their minds having been utterly shattered by the infinite impossibilities that they had seen. Quite interestingly, the navigator gene is one which appears to be recessive, and so it will be lost to their offspring if the Psyker chooses to breed with a baseline human. To avoid this, each navigator is ordered to intermarry with one of their fellows, purely as a method to conserve their valuable genetic material. In order to best preserve their lineage, during their early history, those who possessed these genes formed a quasi-royal organization known as the Navis Nobilitae. This is a guild which exists to oversee and direct the numerous noble families named as the Navigator Houses. They will maintain extensive genealogical records of each and every navigator in the galaxy, being able to trace their ancestry to a time long before the Imperium itself existed as an entity. They are somewhat separate from the greater Imperium, and although they are highly influential, their primary focus has always been and will always be to foster and protect the unique mutants who harbor the navigator gene. Senior members will oversee marital agreements and breeding plans between the houses, just to ensure that their offspring will ever be cut from the cloth of the navigator. Newborns will then live out their young lives within the confines of their noble house, being raised and trained by their kin, until they are finally ready to be assigned to an Imperial void craft, where they will delve their souls into that baleful dirge of the warp. I mentioned that they are kept slightly separate from the Imperium, and in truth, they are granted with a degree of autonomy which is perhaps seconded only by the tech priests of Mars. The Navis Nobilitae are exempt from most Imperial laws, and not even the fabled Inquisition will possess the authority to march in and investigate its members, unless, of course, a truly dire revelation had come to light. This is because the various navigators of the Imperial Navy have each been provided as a gift from the noble houses. And so, without their aid, the shipping routes, armadas, and interstellar transportation vessels of the Imperium would be ground to a halt, no longer being able to rely upon the hawkish sight of the navigators to guide them. Thus, it is imperative to keep the nobles happy, and so this autonomy has been provided as a matter of necessity, as we can only speculate as to the level of chaos which would ensue if this organization ever decided to turn its back upon humanity. The Navis Nobilitae, as I have stated, is incredibly ancient. The organization itself, as well as the noble houses it oversees, predate the founding of the Imperium, potentially by several millennia. During these passing ages, they have since amassed a truly incomprehensible level of wealth, not only in material gains, but also in their influence over the lords who tolerate their existence. It would be challenging for us to fathom the riches kept within their ancient vaults, but they are not shy to flaunt this wealth for all to see. The nobles will reside within some of the most luxurious of palaces found across the galaxy, and the value of their sprawling estates would likely eclipse the entire planetary GDP of several imperial worlds, if counted up. Naturally, due to their strong ties with the Imperial Navy, we will find some of the largest of shipyards within their noble territories. These ornate bastions of affluence are relics themselves, holding secretive components and ships unknown to even the tech priests of the Mechanicus. But they are never to be shared, as they exist as treasures to be seen by only the Navigator nobles themselves. With all this being said, however, we must not let their arrogant flair distract us from the fact that they are still expected to remain as loyal servants to the Emperor and to the Imperium. If it were ever suspected for the Navis Nobilitae to have gone rogue, straying into the worship of chaos, then the High Lords would indeed cast aside their autonomous grace, and the Inquisition would be permitted to descend with righteous fury to seal their third eyes forevermore. As an extension of this point, every mutant who resides within the Imperium must be kept on a short leash, and this will indeed include the Navigators themselves. Though yes, their treasured gene provides the Navigator with incomparably powerful gifts, it also causes a distinct instability within the rest of their genome. As the Navigator grows older, they will become more and more susceptible to further mutations, which are far more maladaptive to their existence. Each time the individual opens their warp eye to gaze into the abyssal reaches of that endless hell, they further risk themselves, as traces of the warp may indeed find purchase within them, only to corrupt their corporeal forms from within. To rectify this, however, the Navigator houses utilize immense genome scanning tools to constantly check up on the health status of their members, as they cannot allow overly mutated Navigators to represent their organization out in the wider galaxy. These scanners will also be used, along with gene scryers, to determine whether the offspring of two Navigators will produce a viable, stable child, or if the youngling will simply stand as a malformed abomination, fit only to die without having ever seen the midday sun. Despite possessing the finest of medical equipment throughout the galaxy, these tools can still fail. Some Navigators will be born with hideous mutations, with their bodies bristling with gaping eyes, each sobbing with tears of foul warp energy, bleeding into real space to form a burgeoning portal to the warp. These accursed failures serve no purpose, and they are to be quickly destroyed as soon as they rear their repulsive heads. It can be rather disturbing for one to bear witness to even a single one of these wretched creatures. And they act as a stark reminder that each Navigator is but the product of several millennia worth of inbreeding and genetic manipulation. In some rare occasions, the Navigators who are born without the gift of warp sight, or those who are born broken and botched, will be stolen away to the darkest dungeons of the Navis Nobilitae. Here, in these long-forgotten prisons, they will be preserved and studied by the gene tailors, who will attempt to identify the specific polymorphisms which may have given rise to such aberrant failures. deep within these nightmarish chambers, we will find some of the most disgusting of monstrosities to have ever been born, having been mutated beyond all recognition. Mindless creatures will amble aimlessly, colliding with their cell walls before vomiting forth dregs of flesh, only to tear out their own eyes, gasping out incomprehensible calls to some entity who dwells beyond our own plane of reality. Occasionally, these failed mutants will spontaneously burst open to produce a small warp portal from which ferocious demons will spill forth from, eager to investigate the maleficent dungeons beneath the noble houses. For this reason, the chambers are incredibly well guarded, being warded off with innumerable protective runes discovered eons ago by the antecedent members of the Navis Nobilitae, long before organizations like the demon-hunting Grey Knights were first formed. The Inquisition, though kept distant from the Navigators, are well aware of the risks and dangers which surround them, and so they will keep a close eye upon the houses, just to be sure that no stray mutants are permitted to escape. Many radical inquisitors would enjoy nothing more than to perform a genetic audit upon the entire lineage of several Navigator houses, only to take away the entire family within one of their dreaded black ships. But thus far, this is an event which is yet to come to pass. Now that we know more about the nature of the Navigators, we must ask ourselves a question. If the warp is an ever-changing, constantly swirling abyss where nothing remains stable, then how can these mutants possibly know of their location within this chaos? The answer to this question is that thanks to the gifts of the God Emperor, there does in fact exist a single landmark which will guide all who may see its light, and this would be none other than of the Astronomicon. It exists as a psychic beacon, connected directly to the Golden Throne upon Holy Terra, which can be seen as something akin to a lighthouse, shining out across the galaxy, pointing all towards the cradle of mankind. This blazing projection has a range of around 50,000 to 70,000 light years, and so it will cover most, but not all, of the Milky Way in its radiant light. Navigators who can see this light will use it as a reference point, being able to locate Holy Terra through the chaotic tempest of the warp, and from this, they may reorient their ships back towards their correct course. Because this is a psychic projection, it will shine ever so brightly within the warp, and it exists as perhaps the only reliable landmark within that turbulent ocean of impossibility. The sheer power of the Astronomicon is truly astounding. It is powered by not only the will of the God Emperor, but also by 10,000 psykers who are known as the Chosen. They will consist of individuals who were forcibly taken from across the galaxy by the black ships of the Inquisition, being transported directly to Terra, where they will live out the rest of their short lives in service to the Imperium. Those who possess a strong enough connection with their psychic powers will undergo a rigorous training regime within the bowels of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, being taught of how to channel their abilities and of the destined purpose behind their existence. For the few who take these teachings to heart, they may indeed attain some form of nirvanic state, at which point they will have proven themselves as being devoted enough to join the Chosen. At this point, those who have been selected will live out their lives within the chamber of the Astronomicon, where they will focus their psionic might into the ancient relic, providing it with the energies which the Emperor needs to sustain the blaring light of this most sacred beacon. In the wake of the Horus heresy, it is said that thousands of psykers would die each day during their duties here, with their life essence rapidly being subsumed by the starved Astronomicon. However, as it stands today, it is thought that only around 100 of the Chosen will die each day from their duties. But in their deaths, they give up everything. Their bodies will fall as ash upon the cold floors, and it is even rumored that their very souls are destroyed, with their final remaining vestiges of psychic energy being offered up to power this arcane device. This is a task which can never cease, and so when one psyker collapses, they will merely be swept away before a new replacement is pushed forward, thus ensuring that the Astronomicon is ever fueled and ever shining. Though bleak, their sacrifice is utterly necessary for the continued functioning of the Imperium. There are very few Imperial settlements which exist beyond the light of the Astronomicon, as it is simply too dangerous of a task to try and commit to warp travel without being able to detect this heavenly beacon. Rogue traders who dare to traverse the darkness will often become lost, with their navigators charting errant paths through the abyss, almost certainly resulting in their crafts falling victim to meddlesome forces beyond human comprehension. As I stated, there are some areas of the galaxy where the light of the Astronomicon does not reach. To rectify this, the Imperium has constructed a series of astropathic relay stations, which are thought to amplify the light of the Astronomicon towards wayward regions of the void, thus enabling the navigators to more easily find passage through the dark. But these beacons shine far less brightly than of the Astronomicon itself, and so we will still find locations which have never been graced with the silvery light of the Emperor. Deep within Segmentum Ultima, in the most northeastern region of the galaxy, we will find the Ghoul Stars. This desolate reach of the cosmos is so far from Terra that it is almost entirely occluded from its light, meaning that navigators will have an incredibly challenging task ahead of them if their admirals ordain for them to traverse this region of space. There have been countless vessels lost to this expanse, and we may only speculate as to the horrific aliens, mutants, and heretics who lurk upon the forlorn worlds of these stars. I should note that the light of the Astronomicon, whilst powerful, is not unstoppable. It can be occluded by huge undulations of warp activity, and so warp storms, which are large enough, will temporarily shroud their own local region of space, leaving those trapped within it without a clear path for escape. The prime example of this was from the formation of the Great Rift, officially named as the Cicatrix Maledictum. This tear in reality has essentially cleaved the galaxy in twain, stretching out from the galactic northwest at the Eye of Terra, down through the galactic core, and all the way through to the southeastern stars close to the Haddex anomaly. This has resulted in the side of the galaxy cut off from Terra to be referred to as Imperium Nihilus, or the Dark Imperium, as no navigators can easily traverse the warp in this region. The opposite side, still illuminated by the Astronomicon, is named as Imperium Sanctus, and although the currents of the warp are increasingly turbulent here, navigators can still chart a clear course through its swell. A large Tyranid presence can also cause a great stir in the warp, which will block out the light of the Astronomicon. This is a phenomena which has been named as the shadow in the warp, and it can be a dire early sign that a hive fleet is approaching a prey planet. If a navigator ever suspects that a shadow has appeared, then we must heed their words, as it may be the only indication to suggest that the Tyranid menace has encroached within this region of space. Some have speculated that it is, in fact, the blaring light of the Astronomicon which first enticed the ravenous Tyranids to turn their hive fleets towards our galaxy. But I do believe that this is to be a topic for another day. With this, my friends, I do believe that it is time to bring today's sermon to an end. Truly, warp travel is a dark and terrible process, made all the worse by the necessity of trusting insular mutants to pilot the Imperium's vessels. But it is a necessary evil which has been sanctioned for the good of all mankind. All aboard a ship will pray for their short stint in the warp to remain brief, but they can never be sure if the Geller fields will remain steady or if they will meet their fates at the hands of a starving demon. As a quick final point, there do in fact exist curious structures within the galaxy known as warp gates, which will allow one to quickly traverse vast distances without risking a conventional journey through the Immaterium. These are ancient artifacts, and none can be sure of exactly how they function. But from what we understand, they will connect to a corresponding position somewhere in the galaxy, and a vessel will be able to safely travel through them, almost as if they were to move through a protected tunnel within the warp. Some are incredibly small, being able to fit only a human being and their equipment, whereas others can be so large that entire armadas may pass through them. But in either case, they are exceedingly rare, and in fact, they are sometimes rather inconsistent in their operation. It is not unheard of for vessels to pass through the gate, only to never return, possibly suggesting that the terminal gate simply opened up into the warp itself, or even to a distant galaxy from where a return journey was simply impossible. But regardless of these anomalies, I do believe that this should conclude our topic on warp travel. Though today I have only described the methods by which Imperial forces will traverse the warp, each alien faction has their own unique method for attaining faster-than-light travel. And so, I will soon return to tell of how these fellow sentients have wrangled control over reality itself. However, my dearest friends, I shall once again close this chapter on the topic of warp travel. I thank each and every one of you for listening to this tale in its entirety, and I wish you all the best in your future endeavors. For now, however, I must again wish you all goodbye.